Hey, it's Tracy here. Today, Dan and I got to talk to Jen Luff all about the Ability Forum. We think you're going to enjoy this episode. It's a really practical way to incorporate people living with disability to have their lived and living experience inform your innovation work in a really meaningful and easy way.
Hey, and welcome back to the Innovate for Impact podcast. Dan Bentley and Tracy Newman. And today we're joined by Jen Luff. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Dan. And hi, Tracy.
Hey.
Hey, before we get into it, we'd like to do an acknowledgement of country. So I'm in Melbourne, so I'm based on the lands of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nations. And I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging.
And I record here in Adelaide, so I would like to acknowledge the Kaurnas, the traditional custodians of the Adelaide Plains region, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging as well.
And I'm joining you today from the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Thank you. So, Jen, we'd love you to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, I am the Chief Operating Officer for Ability First Australia, and Ability First Australia was developed probably about 13 years ago with the oncoming of the NDIS, and it was initially started by around 12 disability service providers, and that's expanded now to around 15 service providers. And the Ability First group actually service around 92,000 people either with lived experience with disabilities or their families and support networks. So it is all over Australia. It's every state, every territory, and we work every day to try and support people with disabilities, improve outcomes and help service providers to do the same.
How exactly do you do that?
Well, great question. We have a number of different ways of doing that. We work with government to help inform policy and decision making at government levels. And we also work with service providers to improve practice overall. So looking to get best practice across every organisation and sharing that across the different organisations as well. And we also have a number of different structures that we have in place. And one of those is Ability Roundtable, which is a benchmarking group. And that has around 70 members at the moment. And that provides quantitative analysis for service providers around what they can do differently, better. Again, a lot of best practice sharing. We're very much around a collaboration across service provision to help improve outcomes for people with disabilities and help improve practices across all organisations. But then one of the other ways that we've done that is through Ability Forum. So in 2017, the members decided that it was very important to ensure that the voice of the consumer, i.e. the voice of somebody with lived experience, was actually central to the decision-making processes that were happening inside the member organisations. And Ability Forum was formed for that purpose. So it's grown over the years. We now have over 3,600 people with lived experience, either people with disabilities themselves or people who are supporting them in an unpaid capacity, so families, supporters, carers. It's a really strong online community now that is finding its voice both within the disability provision world but also externally. So non-disability service providers can now also tap into incredibly bespoke and passionate and informed group of people.
Yeah, and I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you are someone that's most likely on board with the value of lived experience and what it can bring and working in this space. Jen and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about this, and Jen was talking about how this could be a really useful tool for our consulting business. And when I was listening to what the amount of people that are on this platform, how it can be used, I just saw that like this is an amazing tool, but not just for us. I think this is something that we need to get out there to the people who listen to our podcast. So that's why we got her on the show. But how does it exactly work, Jen? How do people, if they were to tap into, what can it be used for? How does it work? How are they engaging with people? All those sorts of things. Just give people a bit more information. That would be great.
Great question. Thanks, Dan. We've used it a lot within service provision to help inform policies and practices. We used it initially with the onset of COVID with the government to help government understand what people with disabilities were concerned about and how they wanted information and what sort of information they wanted and needed. So we could turn that around very quickly, which was really helpful in terms of communicating back at the beginning of the COVID pandemic. We've also used it for employment research. So what have been the barriers to employment, created an unmet needs longitudinal study, which has allowed us to be informed about what's changing for people with lived experience over the course of the last 5 years. And that's been a really interesting one to watch. Participation and inclusion. So what are the barriers to participation? How do we improve access for people with disabilities in mainstream community activities? So there's a real range within the actual service provision world that the panel can be used for. But more broadly, we've had fashion designers who've been developing accessible clothing, and they've tapped into what would work for somebody with a disability. And because we have such a range, we have people with physical disabilities, we have people with sensory, intellectual disabilities. So there's a really good range of feedback around whatever the questions may be. So you can choose to have a specific group of people answering the question, or alternatively, you can go more broadly if that's actually what you're after. We've also been able to use it for housing decisions. So if you were designing a house for somebody with a disability, what might that look like? What would be important? And now we're looking more broadly, because we've only actually opened it up to the external market within the last 12 months. And we've had a number of researchers from the different universities who have tapped into the panel. But I think it also plays a real part in general surveys where you are looking to ensure that there's an inclusive approach across the range of Australians. And this group of panelists can be quite a difficult group ordinarily to tap into. So the Ability Forum actually provides an opportunity for any organisation who's interested in broader issues to be able to tap into quite a bespoke group that they may not otherwise have access to.
Yeah, because I think when you're trying to understand the needs of people that you don't already have a relationship with, it can be quite challenging, because how do you get to talk to people that you don't know? And what makes those people want to talk to you, more importantly, because, you know, they don't have a relationship with you, they don't have a whole lot of an idea of, you know, who you are and what you're looking to do and how that's going to work. So I'm sure a lot of people are seeing this as being really beneficial, but they're possibly also a little bit like me in that they're going, well, you know, what's in it for the people who are part of the Ability Forum? Like, how are they looked after? What does that look like for participants?
First and foremost, we wanted to provide an avenue for their voice to be heard. And now we are expanding it to the external market as well as our providers to ensure that we're amplifying that voice. So I think there is a real commitment to ensuring that their voices are informing decisions about their lives, as all of us would like to be having that opportunity. So that's number one. And secondly, we do ensure that, as per the market research agency who we use to manage our panel, that they are remunerated for their time. So, you know, if it's a 15-minute survey, that time can be redeemed for gift cards and so forth. So we run it exactly under the same panel structure, or the redemption structure that the panel would use for other surveys.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that when we met earlier and we were having a conversation, I was actually really pleased when you said, oh no, I wouldn't be able to share any stories of any people who are part of the forum, because we make sure that they have control over how that works. And the whole thing is actually, I guess, professionally managed, in that you've got an organization that takes care of this group and makes sure that you're working in line with best practice.
Absolutely. We're very conscious that market research and research procedures are not our area of deep expertise. Our area of deep expertise is really in the disability sector and the disability cohort that we work to support. So when we were wanting to establish this, we knew that we needed to engage with an agency who could manage the information at arm's length and that would also stay current with the regulatory requirements of privacy market research. So we've engaged with an agency and we continue to work with them sort of 7 years later. So that's obviously working. And ultimately, They have control of running the surveys for us. We work to develop and engage with the panelist group, but we do it by their agency. And we also do sort of joint recruiting, I suppose. We recruit through our channels and they also recruit people who might be interested in joining.
And you can tell that you've put a lot of thinking into who you're getting involved. I remember when we caught up the first time, you showed me this slide of all the different types of people that you have involved, and you really are building up a really great representation of all different types of people experiencing and living with disability, and even also just other sort of intersectionalities as well that sit within that. I thought that was really fantastic. What are the different ways people can engage? Is it predominantly surveys, or can you also use this group for things like focus groups, workshops, interviews, those sorts of things as well?
Yeah, so we had to move very quickly and expand our online capacity during COVID, obviously, and that's been very much the focus is that online quantitative or qualitative workshop, self-paced workshops. But we also have now brought back in face-to-face. So all three of those are options for people who want to explore sort of the gamut of their particular questions or areas of curiosity.
So you mentioned that you were able to provide some information to the government at the beginning of COVID. Do they regularly engage with you, or is that something that you do proactively just to make sure that people living with disabilities' needs are included in those important decisions?
Well, back then that was a one-off because it was very much member use only for the forum. But since then we've provided a white paper to the government on employment, specifically the barriers to employment and the enablers of employment for people, young people with cerebral palsy. So that was provided to the government last year as a part of the NDIS review. Some future surveys that we're looking at will also be used by Ability First in terms of the foundational support development that's coming through as a result of the review. And, you know, we use it really as a tool or, you know, as a path to being better informed about what people with disability actually want and what their views are. So we'll use it in that way with government or with providers and the sector as required. But if an organisation wants to use it to develop their diversity policy, the diversity and inclusion policy, well, then there's a really good opportunity to have that vehicle. And obviously all of those things just stay completely in-house by organisations who are using it outside of the Ability First remit.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like there's so many different ways this forum can be used. Every organisation, institution is working with people with disabilities. So to understand their needs is in everybody's best interest. And this is a great way that you can get access to those people that you may find it difficult to get access to going through conventional channels. So yeah, that's the thing that I really saw when you took me through this originally, was just going, this is an engaged group of people. All that legwork has been done for you to work out how you're going to remunerate, how you're going to find the right people. All you basically need to do is, what do they need to do? I actually don't know the answer to that. What do they need to do if they would like to? They'd like to use it.
They can jump online and find our contact details, or alternatively just contact me directly. So that's the best way to do it. jennifer.luff@abilityfirst.org.au.
Yeah, perfect. Glad I asked that question, because we will be using it at some point. So I now know the first step, so that's good. But we can also put a link to the website in our show notes as well, so people can click straight through. Look, Jen, thanks so much for coming on the show. I think this is an amazing resource that people can tap into. Like we said, we're going to put a link in the show notes so that people can click through and either get in contact with yourself or go through and use the website so that they can access the Ability Forum. Thanks so much for sharing this resource. I think sometimes there's things out there like this that we just don't know that exist. And so it's fantastic that you could bring this to our audience and share your thoughts and your understanding of it, so that others can tap into this and we can continue to design better products, services, legislation, whatever that might be, so that everybody's included. So thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you very much, Tracy. And thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Innovate for Impact podcast. Any links to what we spoke about today will be posted in the show notes. If you'd like to know more about social innovation, visit our website, where we have a heap of tools to help you on your way. visit impactoconsulting.com.au. Thanks for listening. Now go out there and make an impact.